In Parashat Shlach Lecha, where the main theme is the sending of the spies into the land of Israel. And we discussed a few times, was it a good thing, was it a bad thing, why did Moshe Rabbeinu do it, why does Moshe Rabbeinu need to send spies? In the morning we learned something very interesting, that the reason why one of the many reasons why Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to send the people in, because we learned that when you do a mitzvah, or you learn Torah, you serve Hashem, wherever you are, it doesn't matter where it is, the godly sparks that are around you are envy you, they jealous you, because you are performing the purpose of creation, and you are conquering these godly sparks. So much more so in the land of Israel, that the land of Israel has the desire for mitzvot to be fulfilled on her. And we were explaining in the morning that the same way that we have 365 tendons and 248 limbs, which correspond to the 365 precepts and negative mitzvot and the 248 positive mitzvot, there's the exact same structure in the land of Israel, like organs, so to say. And where do we see it many times? That we find many times in scripts, it says the eye of the land, the stomach of the land. Like we find it the same thing with Hashem, Hashem's eye, Hashem's nose. Same thing we find it in the land of Israel. So in the land of Israel, the performance of the mitzvot affect the land. And the land of Israel wants mitzvot to be performed on it. So when Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies, he wasn't to spy the land. He wanted the spies to perform mitzvot on the land of Israel, to learn Torah. Go and learn Torah there. Go and perform mitzvot there, that the land will have more desire to accept us, and by default it would throw out the nations that were occupying the land. Don't forget there were 31 kings to conquer. 31! That's one of the explanations why the spies came back with bad news. Because they said, listen, that Hashem, the fact that Hashem won one king, Pharaoh, fine. But there's 31 kings and nations that they have to conquer. Now that's too much for us. That was their mistake. Well, Hashem can kick out 31 kings. But nevertheless, a beautiful explanation that we learned, that Moshe Rabbeinu, why would he even agree to such a thing? He didn't know that something bad is going to come out of it. Obviously, he had an intention for something good to come out of it. And he wanted these 12 men to come into the land of Israel and to perform mitzvot and to learn Torah and to, so to say, soften the land, that the land will want to accept the coming of the nation and, needless to say, will throw out the nations that are occupying it. So comes, of course, the question, was it a good decision or a bad decision for Moshe Rabbeinu to do that? So we say, En Lakshot, and again, we're reading from the book of Kedushat Levi Yitzchak. This is the teachings of Levi Yitzchak from Berdichev. And he says, En Lakshot Delema Amar Hashem Ze Beshlach Maraglim. There's no point of asking a question, why would Hashem told Moshe, you want spies? You send them. I'm not telling you what to do. You want, you do it yourself. The mashma chas v'shalom lera, because it sounds like something negative. Adraba, zehu davar tov. Nevertheless, this is a good thing. Moshe Rabbeinu did something good. Don't underestimate Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is not the person who does mistakes or the wrong political move. He doesn't need to excuse my language, to kiss tuchis to anybody. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't need to. It's not a political party that there's pressure and. Moshe Rabbeinu does things according to Ruach HaKodesh. Obviously, there's something good there. Ve'yesh lomar, let's see what it is. Ki hine dor ha-midbar hem ayu b'madrega gdola. The generation of the desert were in a very, very high level. First of all, they saw with their own eyes the plagues in Mitzrayim. They saw with their own eyes crossing the sea. They themselves did it. They received the Torah. They're in a very, very high level. They weren't so immersed into nature. They got so separated from nature. Just imagine, When this is happening, the whole point with the whole part with the Meraglim is 13 months after they leave Mitzrayim. So they see a whole year of miracles in Mitzrayim, and the types of miracles that I don't even know how somebody can see such miracles with their own eyes and have one doubt in Hashem. And then they leave Mitzrayim, that is miraculous, and then they're in the desert for 13 months. They left Mitzrayim in Nisan, and the Meraglim were sent in Kaftet Sivan, 13 months after. They already were separated from nature. For 13 months they're eating man. Their clothes are being washed. As they're walking, their clothes are being washed. They're protected. There's water coming out of the well. So nevertheless, they were already so separated from nature, the nature of the world. And they were so convinced that the Kadosh Baruch Hu can turn nature upside down. So we see from here that the fact that they already sent these men to the land of Israel, what was the main purpose? To see if they can conquer the land. I mentioned already yesterday, Moshe Rabbeinu said, okay, you want to go? I have three requests. The first one, I want you to tell me how's the soil. If the soil is good, how easy it will be to grow the fruits and the vegetables. And the second, are the cities that we need to conquer, are they walled? Do we need to bring a lot of explosives with us, or are we just going to walk in? How are they structured? And the third is, how brave are the men there? Are they warriors? Are we going to go into a fight? Or are they going to be chickens and cowards and run right away? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to know. And of course, when they came back, they told him, number one is perfect. The soil is unbelievable. Look at the fruit that we brought. But number two and number three, the cities are walled, and the men there are giants. They're huge. We're not going to be able to fight them. But nevertheless, when Moshe Rabbeinu sent them into the land, the idea was to see if it's easy, how easy it would be to conquer the land. Zehu b'tiviyut ha'olam. This is corresponding to the nature of the world. You're going to a war, you're conquering a land, you need to, according to nature, prepare a strategy here. That's why Rashi says, if you want to send it, to your opinion, to Moshe's opinion. That Moshe Rabbeinu, he added that opinion so they can go in. Even if one time he wouldn't have an awakening, that he will be able to sustain by himself. Nevertheless, he's saying here about the Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though the Kadosh Baruch Hu can one day decide, I don't want to help, I don't want to do any miracle, but nevertheless, we do know that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is supervising nature. Even though nature is, so to say, what we feel is running the world, but we know the Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's supervising on nature. Kadosh Baruch Hu made rules in nature. He usually doesn't bend the rules, definitely doesn't break the rules, but nevertheless, Kadosh Baruch Hu controls the nature. Venimtza, kivan shata mashgiach nami al hateva, since you are supervising nature, shlachata anashim lirot im hem chazakim or rafim. Now, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you have control over everything. You also have control over the nature. We saw that the Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, in the help of Hashem, split the sea. We saw that he brought hail and locusts and many other things. Meaning to say, in other words, to Moshe Rabbeinu, you also have control over nature. I gave you the power. Moshe Rabbeinu had a staff. People think that they had a staff like what Zev is carrying. Can you show us your staff so we can have Exhibit A? Exhibit A. People think Moshe Rabbeinu had a staff like that. Moshe Rabbeinu, his staff was made out of sapphire. It was 6 amot high, meaning about 6 feet, about 2 meters. Well, Amma is about something like this. But nevertheless, it was about 2 meters high. And it was not round like a stick. Moshe Rabbeinu, people have a vision of this old guy, you know, shaking hands and stuttering. Moshe Rabbeinu was, a powerful man. Nevertheless, his staff was made out of sapphire, and it was in the shape of a cube. He had 4 corners. And along all the staff were all the names of Hashem, all the Shemot HaMeforashim. And he would just know how to read the names in the right order, and everything was done with his mouth. Next week we're going to read about Balak, not next week, the following week, no, 3 weeks, we're reading about Balak and Bilam, and they said, we can fight Moshe Rabbeinu, his mouth is very powerful. We're not going to be able to fight them with any other way. Moshe Rabbeinu, everything that he did was with his mouth. It says, Vayat Yadai, he moved his hand. It was just a show. But on the staff was all the holy names of Hashem. He would read the names. He would say a certain name. The sit would split. Say another name. Something else would happen. That's why he got punished when he had to talk to the stone. Instead, he hit the stone. But nevertheless, he says here, Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave you power over nature. I gave you the control over nature. Saying in other words, if you want to send people, you want to conquer the land according to nature, you do whatever you want. Venimtza kivan she'ata mashgiach nami al hateva, since you also have control over nature, Moshe Rabbeinu, nimtza shlach ata anashim lirot im chazakim ovim, you can send the people to see if the nations there are strong or the weak. Aval ani eneni metzaveh lecha. Hashem says, I'm not giving you any commandment. You do whatever you want. Your opinion. You are a totally separate entity. You are owner-operator. Do whatever you want. Ki ani yachol lahafoch hateva. Hashem says, I can turn the nature upside down. I can do whatever I want. I'm the master of the universe. You just have control over the nature, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Nimtza mi shebao meraglim v'amu lo nuchal la'alot. It seems, we see from here, that when the spies came back, and they told Moshe, we're not going to be able to make it. The generation could not tolerate such a thing. Because the generation was in a very high level. Why does the nation can't tolerate the spies? Because in this desert, that's where they're going to die. Everybody got punished. That was the punishment. The original punishment, nobody's going into Eretz Israel. Moshe Rabbeinu plead the case. He prayed. So Hashem sweetened the judgment and says, okay, only this generation will not go. The next generation will go in. But this generation died in the generation. And it uses here a word, yamuto. They will die. If you take the order of the words of the letters Yamutu and you switch the order, it will be Yitamo. Instead of Yamutu, it will be Yitamo, meaning it will be Tamim, it will be a whole. Saying in other words, Shem Tamid Bit Oreruta Elyon. They always have an awakening from above in a very high level. And that's what it means when we say, En Mazal Israel, there's a Talmud that says Israel doesn't have a mazal because they're above the mazal. When a person doesn't think of himself as something, I'm a nothing. As Israel mazal, then the Jew has mazal, and mazal is not luck in Vegas. Mazal means something completely else. Comes from the word in Hebrew hashpa'a, a shefa. What does it mean a shefa? Kemo yizal mai midalav. Take a bucket and start pouring out water. It's called Yizal Maim. Water pours out. Dalav is from his bucket. Ki kshadam eno mashgiach al hateva, yachol hakadosh baruch hu liten lo shefa rav. When a person is focused on nature, he is segregating himself and limiting himself to nature. When the person is elevating himself above nature, then the kadosh baruch hu can give him above nature. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is above nature. But when he limits himself to nature, then the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I can only give you what you can receive. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is running the nature. And this is not a good thing. Now, Teva has the nature has also negative qualities. Since it has negative qualities, then it also means that we also have in us bad nature. We can be judgmental, can be evil, we can be jealous, angry, impatient, lazy. We have a lot of bad nature in us. Once that we have bad nature in us, then I can't receive anything. Once I limit myself to the limitations of nature, then I'm segregating myself from getting anything. Saying, in other words, that the when the Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you can send the people into the land, you do whatever you want. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I want to do it according to nature. The reason why the nation wasn't happy with that, when the spies came back, because the spies lowered them down to back to the level of nature. So they were back to being limited again. And therefore, they weren't able to receive above nature. So since we like taking what we learn to something practical in our life, not just to learn some history facts, is that when I limit myself to nature, then that's what I'm able to receive. But if I elevate myself above nature, and I understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu not only that controls the nature, He's above that, then I become an infinite vessel to receive. I can receive. Hashem can tell me, I'll give you whatever you want. But if I limit myself to the measurements of nature, then Hashem says, I can only give you what you're able to receive. So practically saying, we have to start developing in our mind the ability that I am above nature. The same way that Hashem told Moshe, you can control nature, then Hashem is telling you, you are above nature. The fact that we limit ourselves to nature, that's our limitation. But nevertheless, when I want to receive much more, we spoke about it before, what Salavam said about prayer. Prayer is an inflating device of nature. Because with prayer, you are greatening your capacity, your spiritual capacity. We think it's just a boring text. That's why most people don't understand the purpose of prayer. They're saying, I've been reading this text for 20 years. Can't you give me something new here? Or at least some diversity here, maybe every week will change. But the point is, I don't know if you ever saw how they're drilling for oil. They drill and they drill and they drill. It's the same point. They don't drill a little bit here and then a little bit here and a little bit here and a little bit here. Where are you going to reach? You have to drill in the same place over and over and over, and then you go lower and lower. Then you find your oil or your gas or whatever you want to find. Same thing here. The prayer has to be in the same place. If you pray a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit here, it's not going to help. It has to repeat. It has to be repetitive. But nevertheless, we are limited and subdued to nature. I need to go above nature. I need to remove the physical obstacles from my life. And when I rise above the nature, that's when I'm able to receive in an abundance, in a much greater way, and in an unlimited way. How do I remove this nature limits from me? Is that I don't let the nature control me. Whether it's food, whether it's anything else. Most people, they are controlled in some type of a way by something physical. They're, we'll call it now a dependency. It can be something as cigarette, can be alcohol, can be a movie, can be a game, can whatever it is. Most humans are kind of controlled by nature thing. They're controlled, they're dependent on something. Let's see if you can go now for 2 weeks without your cup of coffee. If you can go 2 weeks without your cup of coffee, good. You have control over nature. But if you can go 1 hour without your phone or without a cigarette or without something, nature controls you. And then you are limited. Which means the amount of what Hashem can give you is limited too. If you can put yourself under these little tests, let me see how many days I can go without something that I'm dependent on. When I became observant, I was dependent on anything that exists in this world. Cigarettes, food, drugs, anything. I was like, and I don't want to say the word addicted. It's a very sensitive word. People get very offended when you say addicted. But I was dependent on things. And my first decision as an observant individual was not to put tefillin on. Was to see how am I getting off and being dependent from things. Let's see me go now for 3 months without coffee. I don't need to be dependent on coffee. What, coffee was going to run my life? I don't have my cup of coffee. Where's my cup? It's one of our coffee. Let's see you go now 3 months without coffee. The first thing I did, I quit smoking. I quit this. I quit that. I quit everything. I was like, I don't want anything physical control me. This is where you are becoming a prisoner. But when nothing controls you, you're a free man. Now when you're a free man, go and serve God, because you have no limitations. Then God elevates you to levels way above nature. So we need to understand, if I'm segregating myself to the rules of nature, then I'm limiting myself, then Hashem can only give me a limited amount of blessing, a shefa, an abundance. When I go above nature, when nature doesn't play a role here, then Hashem can give me an abundance, both in the physical and the spiritual. So just know how to apply, you need to know how to apply it in your life, and you start with small things. What can I take away from my physical pleasures that I can survive today without? So instead of eating 50 cookies today, then eat only 20 cookies today. Instead of spending 3 hours on Facebook, let's see you be on Facebook for 2 minutes. Whatever it is, I'm just giving you different ideas, because we get hooked on these things and we feel that without them I can't survive. The reality is that when I'm getting hooked on all these things, whatever it is, dangerous, not dangerous, severe, not severe, then it's controlling me, and I don't want to be controlled by anything. I want to be a completely free individual. Why? Because that's when I rise above nature. Once I rise above nature, that's when Hashem can bless me in an abundance, and we all can use some extra blessing in many different places, whether it's in my livelihood, whether it's my health, whether it's my relationships with my kids and my wife and parents, whatever it is. Nevertheless, I'm the one who's controlling, and that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, you control the nature. I'm telling you, do whatever you want. I'm the one who can turn nature upside down. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you have control over nature. Saying to other words, we have control of our nature. Whether I want to do it or not, that's a whole different ballgame. You have to come to terms, can I control the rules of nature in my life? And yes, you can. And when you do, you become a free person. And needless to say, that's how Hashem is able to bless you in quantities and in abundance that you can't even fathom, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite, so His blessings are infinite. Now, Bezrat Hashem, apply it into your life.